More with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people over at JulieLand.com. As always, I am joined today by the greatest photographer in the land, Mr. Richard Avery.
Thank you.
So, over the past few months, I've had plenty of porn performers on More with Mo, but today, in studio, I have an actual, real-life porn star. She's a
legend.
Hall of Fame performer.
Legend.
Legend. She's a Hall of Fame performer, director, and photographer, Miss Kylie Ireland.
Aw, I'm blushing now.
Aw, don't blush. You look beautiful.
Aw. Thank you.
You got all dressed up for us today.
I actually put makeup on to come do radio. I know. It's kind of a pointless gesture. It's kind of like showing your boobs on radio.
But it's almost as bad as, well, Mika Tan came in a costume.
Yes, we did.
She came in a costume?
Yeah, we did a cosplay episode. And
so she came in costume for radio.
Well, she thought
because
possibly.
That translates so well on
radio.
Well,
she thought there would be webcam. But the best part is I did take a picture of her that went on and promoted the show. So it all worked out in the end.
But it was funny, though. Like, I'm looking at her kind of going, you do know this is audio only. Like, you just do know this.
To be fair, so many aren't, though.
No,
you
I know.
They'll point those stupid cameras at you. I know.
Because everybody wants to see the tits.
Which, you know, tits and radio don't go together.
Tits and radio.
Just saying.
So,
want to see them? Look.
Woo!
How big they are. Oh, and yes. I'm sitting here naked, actually.
Yeah.
And
so
my tits are out, and they're so big, I'm just resting them on the table. Sorry.
This has gone awry.
I digress.
So,
take control.
Yes, take control. Here I am. Quite down there, Dick.
You've lost it already.
I have lost all complete control. I am actually, you know, I have to admit, I am
pull
a fan.
Pull it in.
I am a fan. I am a little nervous here.
Okay.
I've only known Kylie in person for quite, not less than a year. But I watched her perform. I watched her direct. I was fans of her stuff. But today, we're not here to talk about porn. You do some other stuff besides everything on your list. You're a photographer.
Besides everything on my list. That's
yeah,
nice.
No, but you are.
Wife.
But you do production design. You do
director,
many other
producer,
things.
Yeah. Company owner,
homemaker,
production designer,
PA, producer,
cam girl. Yeah. You name it, I've done it. I've done catering. I've done, you know, I'm a jack of all trades. You kind of learn that in this business. I mean, I've lit sets. Not well. I've held a camera. I'm not great at it.
So you do,
but I've done everything.
Rule number one, sweetheart. It's better to look good than to be good.
Well, I got that down then.
This is Hollywood.
That's exactly.
And I can do naked radio. But yeah, radio is actually my first true love. It's what I went to college for, is broadcast journalism. So
very nice.
Yeah, I do enjoy that. And I have a podcast, which you can find at KylieIrelandBlog.com if you're curious.
Shameless plug.
Absolutely. And I'm all about the shameless plug, man. I'll get those in there and you won't even notice them.
It's all cross promotion. I'm totally I'm totally down with that.
But
yeah, richmo.com.
Nice. So what you want to talk to me about, though, is my other life.
Your other life.
My other life.
Now, I recently came over to your house. It was Christmas Day. I had dinner.
Awesome.
And your husband cooked an amazing pie.
He made a traditional
shepherd's pie?
Well, only not shepherd's pie. You call it a meat pie.
It's
chicken and mushroom, I believe, is what it was. Was it chicken and
mushroom? It was chicken and mushroom.
Homemade chicken and mushroom pie, exactly. And then we followed it up with a cherry pie.
See, I've only had meat pies in Australia, not England. So I always think of shepherd's pie in
it's the same.
England,
this is the same basic. I argue this with him all the time. I tell him, you know, it's basically a chicken pot pie.
Yeah. Ultimately, yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, it's a chicken pot
pie.
But they do savory pies where we tend to do more sweet pies
in
America. And so it's kind of a new thing. You know, the fact that it was the second cherry pie he'd ever made, that one you ate.
I mean,
and it was pretty good.
It was amazing. In the end, two pies. As I'm sipping on my Jack Daniels, looking around the room, what do I see? I see photos everywhere. Your place is covered in photography and artwork. Mm-hmm. But I see a lot of photos, and all your photos seem to be of signage.
This is true.
Tell me a little bit more about what's your fascination with signage.
Well, it's strange because I'm not used to talking about this stuff. So this is like a whole new area. I can spew out the porn, you know, rhetoric all day long, but you throw some like photography. I mean, I don't know what's
going on. It's a pop quiz today.
Yeah. It really is. I hope I don't fail this. But no, as a kid, I grew up traveling around the country in the backseat of my dad's 34 Chevy because he's a street rodder and he rebuilds classic cars. So we did every weekend in the summer, we'd go to a different car thing so we're driving to Nebraska and to, you know, Montana and, you know, just everywhere. So for a little girl to grow up in that kind of an environment where you're seeing Americana constantly and the weirdness that's out there and the road, the farms and the dilapidated buildings, you know, it just kind of sunk into my psyche somehow, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Totally makes sense.
You know, the same thing happened with cars. That's the other thing that I love photographing is old cars, because it just, to me, I look at a piece of a car and I just see a photograph where
what about
most
the
people
back seat
see
of
a car.
What about the back seat
I've
of
spent
car?
Some time in back seats
yeah,
of
okay,
cars.
I wondered.
I was actually conceived in the back seat, this is a true story, in the back seat of a 65 Mustang.
Okay, I have to break in here because it
that's
is
good. I like that.
Solid.
Just so you know, I was just going to drop this one. Hold on, sorry to interrupt. But our girl, Aiden Ashley, she was conceived in the back of a tour bus.
Nice.
Some drummer in a band and her mom.
Some drummer. Sorry, honey, I don't know which drummer it was.
I know she does.
But it was great.
Yeah.
Well, according to my parents, there is a significant possibility that I was conceived in the backseat of a 69 Camaro. So my dad was a huge
there
mechanic, car guy, and I did the same thing growing up where we traveled all over, did the car shows.
Did you really?
Chevy.
I didn't know this about you.
No, totally Chevy, totally all the time, went around, did that whole thing. So luckily, during when I was in high school, he would restore cars, and every year he'd restore a new car as just for private collector. So like I think it was my junior year, I got to drive a 57 Chevy, you know, canary yellow, two-door hardtop.
How have we never had this conversation
I don't know,
before?
I don't know. And then
I owned
senior
a 57
year,
Chevy.
I love them. And then senior year I get to drive a
not
70
a
Chevelle Super Sport, like a shadow gray thing. And I got to drive these to prom and show off and do this whole thing. And that was like my one night that I got to
77 Trans Am.
Nice.
Half primer gray, had T-top, so it's half primer gray and still had half of the Phoenix on the hood.
Very
he never
that's
restored
the
it.
Worst.
I know.
Piece of junk.
Well, it was fast.
I grew up.
Oh, it was fast.
My brother had 55 Chevys.
Nice.
My brother had the fastest car in the area, and he would race for pink slips all the time. And every Sunday morning, I'd walk outside, and there'd be some guy's car in the driveway that he would won.
I think he's just describing American graffiti.
Yeah, I was
he's
not
this
Greece.
Is,
I went Greece.
Well, I grew up in the Bay Area, and that's since American graffiti.
Well,
okay,
it
Fresno
is. Yes, this is true.
But no, he would race everybody, and he'd win these guys' cars. So every morning there'd be a car.
There'd
be a knock at the door, a guy trying to buy his car back, and my brother would go, "Yeah, $500, you can have your car back." And he would get. That's how he made money to fix up his car.
That's a good way to make some money.
Yeah, he had a 55 Chevy. It turned high tens, low 11s in a quarter mile.
Ooh.
It was fast. And of course, he never let me touch it or even get a ride in it.
That's nice of him.
He hated me.
Well, it's frightening.
He hated me. See, I'm like one of those girls that would actually understand half of what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was all about customs for a while.
Yeah.
And so it was all, you know, chopped and channeled and lowered.
That's what he did. He never had a hood on the car because the engine was just so massive and, you know, it was all stacks
and blowers.
You know, yeah, exactly. And all that stuff. And
glass packs. I love glass packs.
It was pearl white. It was pearl white with red flames.
Nice.
And you heard it a mile away coming home. Like it was just so loud.
I had a Corvette yellow 57 Chevy convertible Bel Air, and it was just the most beautiful thing ever. And I had to sell it when I got divorced from my first husband, which was just a crying shame.
What's your favorite muscle car if you had to have one?
A 57. I'd want it back.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. No, maybe not the particular one. I would want one. Well, okay. I would either want one like that.
Yeah.
Same, you know, the same thing. Or I've always wanted a lowered Merc. Like a 50 Merc, maybe.
Yeah.
Something along that. I just like the way that they're chopped and channeled and lowered.
Yeah.
And they're just sleek. They look like a big bug.
Yeah.
And I want it in candy apple red.
Wow.
Very nice. Great color. Now, I believe, I could be wrong, but was there not a photo of the tail end of that 57 Chevy on your wall?
Yes, it's in my bathroom.
Is that okay.
My bathroom is full of car photography. I don't know why that just ended up that way, but
I just thought
I saw the fin of that.
My first magazine cover when I was like 12 or 13 was a picture of a car of a 57 Chevy for the classic Chevy Club.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a long time ago.
It was 1962.
It was actually 1957, the year the car came out.
I have all of the magazines of all the different years that my dad had his cars on the cover and in them and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, every year, it's like you said, Mo, it was a different car every year. Every year,
That's...
every winter, he'd build a car and we'd roll it out in the spring and that would be. But his favorite and the one he's kept the whole time was the one he got when he was 13 years old, and it's the 34 Chevy. Mm. And a quick odd story, we've totally gotten off topic.
Oh, we have totally gone.
A quick odd story about the 34, though, is when I was 5 years old, I remember somebody pounding on our door to our house in the middle of the night. And so we all got up, and next thing I know, my mom's bundling me up, and she's going to take me next door. Well, I wander over to go look out the window to see what's going on, and our garage, which was a separate garage from the house, was on fire. And so somebody had come and said, your garage is on fire. So mom was gathering me up to take me next door to the neighbors because it wasn't attached to the house, but it was like the corner of the house touched it. And I remember looking out there and this garage had barn doors that swung open. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the barn doors swung open and the 34 Chevy backed out completely on fire because, you know, a good portion of a 34 Chevy is wood.
Right.
And the tires were on fire, the roof was on fire, and it just backed out. And what had actually happened is my dad would always park the cars with it in reverse. And so the fire turned over the ignition,
right,
and the car started up and backed out. And then the garage collapsed, and wow. I watched it all.
Wow.
5 years old. Yeah. And it rolled down this long driveway, and it bumped into the curb on the other side of the street. Yeah. And my dad rebuilt that car.
Wow.
And he just finished rebuilding it again. He was just telling me this the other day.
Yeah. My cousin had, I think, not a 34, I think a 42, something like in that range, too, that he had some kind of car like that. Hot rod, mm-hmm. of course, you know. It's so weird. I grew up with my brothers were all into muscle cars and hot rods, and this is the 70s, and it was cruising and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I went to school with all the lowriders, all the 64 Impalas and the Monte Carlos and stuff, and lowrider clubs and things like that.
What state were you from?
California. I grew up in Northern
California.
So
you actually did grow up. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was like this whole, I was always, the cars. I always tell people, like, my brother, like, we used to say he was born in Greece. Like, you'd walk into the bedroom and he'd have a carburetor apart on the bed, like, putting it back together. He could do anything. It was scary what he could do. And fast forward, if he was young now, he would probably he'd have these custom shops. But at that time, nobody had things like that. Nobody did stuff like that. It was like you said, it was like your dad just doing it on his own. There weren't these car places now that are in TV shows that they all have now.
Well, it's like my dad, he actually, when he was a kid, he grew up in El Monte, so just outside of Los Angeles. And that was right when the whole street rod thing was happening, right. And they were starting to race the cars. And he got ripped out of that and moved to Colorado. Mm. And so it just kind of scarred him for life, I think, that he actually had to leave this culture that was forming that he wanted to be such a part of. And so he took it with him. My dad is just obsessive about it. I mean, you know, my college education is in those cars.
Right.
You know, my father, you want to talk daddy issues? Ugh. My dad was always in the garage. You know, why I fell into porn is no big question. I had no dad.
My dad was the same way.
Always in the garage.
I was going to say you were abandoned for a Chevy.
He was a great provider. Yeah. He was a good dad. I never needed anything I had, you know, except for a college education, which I did pay for myself. Dancing. See how this all comes together? But yeah,
thanks,
it was
daddy.
Just.
This
thanks,
just turned
daddy.
Into therapy show. We have gone.
My parents hated me. Nobody loves me anymore.
Okay, tell you what. Let's get back to photography here,
well,
people. We have daddy issues
and
vehicles here.
It was the
here.
Love of cars and the love of the road.
Ooh, look at you.
And Americana.
And the backseat.
That I always wanted to learn to photograph it. Mm-hmm. And the thing with me, though, is I never wanted to pick up a camera because I didn't want to fucking deal with film.
But you also have to admit photographers are cool, right?
Well, of course, good photographers are cool. You say you're a photographer, and everybody's like, "Ooh, I want to bang you."
Exactly.
Is you well know?
Is I well know?
No, wait. So you didn't shoot much with film then?
I never shot with film.
You never shot
with
film?
Well, I did a bit, but I didn't enjoy it. To me, it was frustrating, and I didn't have the time to sink into it. And then all of a sudden, I ended up with this career in porn that launched, and so it kind of just got put by the wayside. Mm-hmm. When digital rolls around, you know, and I know there's so many photographers that are going to hear me say this stuff. My friend Ben Hoffman does the same thing. He's just like, you don't earn a photographer unless you've shot on film and
Thank
you don't
you.
Know
I
the
am
old
right
school
there.
Stuff.
Bullshit.
And,
I'm right there
you know,
with him. Bullshit. I'm
I am a...
Pipe down, old man.
I believe that 90% of photography is being able to see what you want to take the picture of and to see that photo. You know, you look at something, and this is what I do. I look at something and I see my shot. And that's something that you can't learn. Mm-hmm. You can learn all that other stuff. But so it was kind of convenience. It was just the fact that I didn't have the time to sink into it. And when digital photography came around, it's like, wow, okay, this is instantaneous. And I can take as many pictures as I want. Because that's always frustrating, too. When you're learning and you're burning through so much film and you're getting so many bad shots when you're going, oh, I could have done that. But you can't go back and redo it because it's film. and you were probably in Oregon or something, and now it's like, fuck, I'm home and I can't do it. Yeah, you know, the frustration of it. Now, you know, with digital, you can take as many as you want.
Shoot first, edit later.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can see it all.
That's what I tell girls all the time.
The bad thing is that I have not really ever properly learned to work my camera, because I learned to work Photoshop before I learned to work my camera.
That's bad.
So, yeah, Ben Hoffman gives me so much grief about this, as did every photographer I know, that I don't do much of my photo in the camera as I should. Right. I don't do it with settings and things. I do it in post.
I've been mentoring photographers for a long, long time, and my star pupils that are out there now kicking ass. Mm. I've said the same thing to them. I'll say the same thing to you. It doesn't fucking matter.
Thank you.
That matters is your journey. It's your path. It's your vision. I tell people all the time, you go out, take a picture of a pile of dog poo.
It'll be the best looking pile of dog poo picture
matter.
You will
it's
ever
your
see.
Vision. If you feel like taking pictures, it's your vision. It's art. It's art. And art is subjective. There's no right or wrong. It's your vision. And that's why I laugh when people try to compete with photographers. So-and-so is better than so-and-so. It's not a competition. It's art. And it's subjective. And so, yes, if you learn how to use your camera better, the lens is better, which I can give you a whole speech about that. But it's like, it's about learning it well enough to know that so you don't have to think about it. It's like they always say, like when you ask LeBron James, does he think about what he's going to do when he's going to dunk the ball? No, it's instinct.
No, it's really,
it's the same thing with me. I don't think, and luckily
it just goes, it just happens.
Because I can get so fucked up, wasted on an eight ball and a fucking five bottles of champagne.
He doesn't
I can still
share.
Shoot. And I can still shoot. And it's because I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
And trust me, I can show you pictures to prove it. Then it's like some of the best work of my life. But I tell people that as a joke. I always say to everybody, and photography, I said this for 40 years now, photography is like sex. The more you do it, the better you get.
I agree.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. But that's like with anything, guitar playing, acting, directing, whatever. So you just have to do it.
No,
and
it's the
and
truth.
Don't listen to what anybody else tells you.
Well, and I listen to the purists, and it's just like, you know, okay, I don't believe you. I understand that there's the theory. I understand that all of this knowledge would make my photography better. But I've done pretty goddamn good not having had the training on film and the classes and all of that stuff that everybody insists on.
I'll bring over a 4x5 camera.
You learn on your own, which is how I'm learning.
Seventh grade, Mr. Kitajima taught me everything I needed to know.
Did you have a Japanese photo instructor?
Yes, Mr. Kitajima.
Very nice.
Seventh grade, I learned everything that I needed to know. And at that point, I went and got business cards and told everybody to fuck off and then just went out and learned it all the hard way. Mm-hmm. But it's the kind of thing like what you're saying is so true. It's like you get out there. I laughed because when the transition of film went into digital, I laughed. All the purists that were so late in joining the digital world and universe, and all those big shot photographers in this town, they all didn't work and they lost a lot of work and they're not around anymore. But I jumped on it so fast. It was like, digital, I love it. Let's go.
Yeah.
The trick though is, I always say, I have a background in color and black and white and shooting and all these things so when I picked up Photoshop, I picked it up so fast.
Yeah.
It was like, I got this. And I can still to this day.
Yeah, in essence, I kind of learned it backwards. Yeah. You know, as I started in Photoshop because I ran my own website for KylieIreland.com. Shameless plug. But that's how I started getting into Photoshop, was retouching pictures for that. And, you know, because I would do my stills on
set. You mean
set.
Those photos are retouched? Oh, my God.
No, see,
actually, back in the day, really, they weren't that retouched.
I mean,
that was a big pain in the ass. Yeah.
As a purist, if you will, I spent a shitload, and I still, for the rest of my life, will be paying off the student loans for me to learn how to do all the stuff in the darkroom. Mid-90s, went to art school, did the whole thing. Now, I look at it and go, oh, yeah, all that shit's wasted. All that stuff is gone. I'm not going to get a darkroom. I'm not going to do that. So
all you need is Instagram.
I'm still...
Instagram makes everybody a photographer instantly.
I did my first Instagram.
It's such a cheat.
Now, okay, so Instagram, things like that. Now, you shoot signage, so you're out there for a moment. You're out there, you go out into the desert 100 miles away, you see something on the ground, you need to have that shot right then and there, because you're not going to drive back and get it.
Exactly. Well, yeah, if you're in the middle of, you know, BFE driving around, you know, somewhere on Route 66 and you see the perfect sign, you want to get that because you're not going to be able to go back. I can't tell you how many times I've actually gone, oh, I want to go shoot that again now.
Yeah.
You know, there's some particular ones out in Truxton, California, that are, it makes me crazy because I want to go back out there and reshoot them because I shot them on my first trip with my first camera. And these fabulous signs, one of them is called Burrow Gym, and it's actually on the site that I'm not going to show you.
Such a tease.
I know. But yeah, you want to be able to get it then and there, and I need to be able to look at it and say, okay, I've got it, because I'm probably not going to go back to that area again.
Now, have you ever wanted to go back just because you see one, you're there in the morning, and then you go, oh, you know, this would be amazing at 6 o'clock tonight with the gold. Have you ever wanted to go back and do that specifically just for
that? But most of the time you're on a road trip, so you're kind of screwed. You can't do it.
I just realized, I feel like the way you're talking, I just think, first thing that pops up, she's like the Ansel Adams of signage.
Exactly.
He used to go to Yosemite.
Can I put that on my business card?
Yeah. He used to go to Yosemite and like sit 8 hours waiting for the perfect light. And I mean, I hate that crap, but it was like, he would sit there and wait all day and all night waiting for that moment. And I feel like the same thing. I'm going to sit across the street from this sign. I'm going to wait 4 hours until the light's just right.
And you know what? There's been times I've been tempted to do it because, you know, you get a shadow of something and it's just like, I want this side. This side has the more broken neon. Because that's my thing is I shoot neon signs, but I shoot them in the daytime. I really don't like neon at night. Yeah. I know that sounds really bad. Yeah, I just think it's kind of cheesy, but that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to catch your attention, look at the bright, shiny thing. I like them during the day because, you know, 9 times out of 10, these Googie era signs, these, you know, post-depression era signs, have been sitting there for forever. And they're rusted, and the paint's peeling, and the neon's broken, and the signs are, you know, they've been hit by semi-trucks on the corners, and they're falling over, and that's what I love. I love the rust, and I love the texture. And you don't get that if you shoot a neon sign at night. And so automatically when I tell people I shoot signs, they go, oh, neon, yeah, it's so pretty. No. I want the daytime.
No,
the more decrepit and unloved and, you know, fucked up the sign is, the more I'm going to love it.
Now, based off of your what I'd seen of some of your work, things like that, I actually went to the Neon Boneyard in Las Vegas.
I told you to.
At your encouragement. And
you said, is this cool? Or you tweeted it, I think.
Yeah, no.
And I'm like, yeah, go.
I had so much fun taking an hour tour of watching broken down, decrepit signs. Yeah, the girlfriend was not as thrilled. About 10 minutes in, she's like, yeah, moving on. But I took pictures everywhere. And I look forward. I'm actually going to do, I'm totally stealing your thunder here. I'm going to put on my blog.
Nobody knows
I took a bunch
are.
Of stuff. Exactly. Nobody cares. I am not
Everything's
in the Hall
been
of Fame.
Done.
But my big thing is because I'm obsessed with myself, I went around and started taking pictures of M's and O's. So I think my whole
photo
blog is going to be M and O.
Which is my fault as well, because I was going through some of my pictures and I found, for whatever reason, that I had shot the M and the O of a motel sign. And so I tweeted it to him and I'm like, hey, Mo.
There you go.
Yeah, and so I took it and I ran with that. And actually at the
Boneyard,
they have
amazing,
that.
Amazing, isn't it?
Amazing. It was so
amazing. I am so glad that they are preserving these signs. I mean, and I hope that they don't actually preserve them. One of the things that makes me nuts is when people try to actually, you know, fix them and repaint them and all of that. Just don't do that. But I love the fact that they're going somewhere because so many of these amazing things, these relics of Americana have been lost to time.
Yeah.
They've been scrapped. They've been torn apart. They've been repainted. One of the things that, there's a sign in Vegas, I'll see if I can make this a short story, called Starview Motel. Starview Motel. I wanted this sign so bad. And I was taking pictures of it, and the guy is up on a ladder, and he's redoing his motel, and he says, oh, you want this sign? Throw it in the back of your car. I had an Audi. You're right. The sign was 28 feet wide. And I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. And so I went through the steps to get this sign. We measured it. We called Yesco. We had everything, you know, ready to go. They were going to come and crate it and take it and bring it back to Los Angeles. I had a big warehouse downtown. It was going to be awesome. I was so excited. I mean, 28 feet and 17 high. Beautiful, one of a kind, sat on Fremont Street. The guy was just going to give it to me. He's like, get rid of it.
Wow.
The morning they showed up to get it, the guy said, no, I'm going to keep it.
Oh,
I went to Vegas a couple years ago and drove by, and they took all the neon off. Yeah. They took the letters off. They repainted it bright yellow and wrote on it in just like paintbrush, like Bob's Motel number 2. And I cried.
Yeah.
I cried as I was driving away. I was just like, this is the saddest thing ever. Anyway.
Well,
I talk a lot. Did I mention that?
No, the sign was like, I feel like the sign was raped.
Oh, I did. I was crying.
You raped the sign.
What did you do to this thing? So I'm so glad that the Neon Boneyard is, you know, that they're saving all of these signs.
What else do you shoot? I have a dumb question.
Abandoned things. Anything that's old and decrepit and abandoned and, you know, I love that.
So when are you doing a photo shoot with Richard Avery?
You know what?
I
don't do people.
I don't.
I shoot. Well, I shoot stuff on set if I have to do my own stills or whatever. Right. But I'm kind of jealous of people who can catch people in their natural habitat, you know. just, you know, person on the street or kid in a park. I can't do that. I can photograph somebody I'm really familiar with.
Right.
Like my husband, I know him well. I know his expressions and his good and bad. And, you know, I can take amazing shots of him. But just random people. I just don't like taking pictures of people. It's weird. But anything else is fair game. But my passion is anything that's old and abandoned and fallen apart. And
the best thing about not shooting people, I've always said, is like what you're saying you like to shoot is that what you shoot is like I always tell people like why I like shooting flowers or I like shooting because they don't talk back or they don't talk at all.
Same here.
It's like shut the fuck up.
They don't need retouching either.
No, no. It's like you know, just shut up. That's you know, I just don't want anybody to talk.
So well, you're gonna so you have this whole collection of images now,
which nobody has seen,
and
that's because I refuse to share it. It's been the one thing that's been a part of me for so long. I just, it's like burying my soul. And I know that people are cruel, especially when you're connected to porn. The fans are mean, mm-hmm. and they will pick everything apart. And so I really have held this, you know, for a good 10 years or more, really. But for the bulk of them are from the last 10 years, and I just haven't shared them with anybody. You have seen mm-hmm. the site because I put together like a portfolio site because I'm going to start chasing the book. I want a coffee table book.
So you are going for the book right now. The website's in the future. That's something
yeah. The website that I've made is purely just a portfolio, which mm-hmm. is why I'm not going to share it with anybody.
Smart
You've
move.
Seen one. I haven't watermarked the pictures. It's purely just so I could send it to you know a publisher or whatever mm-hmm. and say here's a sample of my work. You know you're in New York. Obviously I can't drop a photo book on your desk. So
it's not 1995 anymore. We're not FedExing books overnight.
No,
screw
mine
that.
Mine are all right there.
Click.
Exactly. So
have you seen how dusty those things are?
He's got portfolios
I would
for
love
days.
To look through those.
Now, so you have the website. You're going for a book or any sort of gallery shows, anything like that of your photography?
If I can find them, I really am at such the egg stages of it at this point. I just finished the site. And, you know, like I said, I've just been so afraid to share this inner part of my soul for so long that I really haven't done much with it.
Because there's nothing worse than you, like, you're so proud and just takes one comment of like, I don't get it. Or, like, I don't like that. And you're just all like, don't fucking shut the fuck up. You know?
Yeah,
like,
I do some on Instagram. Yeah. And every now and then you get pictures. People don't want to see your pictures of old signs. They want to see your fucking gaping ass. Yeah. Okay, thank
you.
I know. You know, but I'm over that. That doesn't bother me. I'm to the point where I want to get these out. I've showed them to enough people and gotten great feedback. And I know they're good. Right. And everybody I've showed them to says they're amazing. And so it's time to do it.
Right.
How to do it is beyond me. I have some people that have contacts. Mm-hmm. I have some people that have galleries because I have also dabbled in street art, but that's a whole different thing.
It's not easy.
But yeah, it's a tough thing. And all I want is a book.
Harder.
I don't want to make money. I'm not worried about money.
You won't.
I've heard this too. I've heard you won't make money.
There's not a photographer on the planet that has ever made any money off of a book.
Yeah.
You don't
I just want it. I just want it in my hand.
Exactly.
I want to say, look at this. I made this. And I have, I swear, like every photo book of signs under the sun. Everything that has to do with any kind of sign, Americana, I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of them. And in none of them have I ever found, or online, right. anything that quite looks like mine. You find similar, but I kind of have a different way about it. And I know that's what all photographers right. say, but...
If you got the money, just...
I don't have the money. That's the problem.
Self-publish.
Everybody
you're
says
a big famous. You're a big famous porn star.
Go to Paper Chase. They'll make you a book. You can make at least a dozen of them.
At least a dozen.
No, and seriously, at least you have something to show people, and you use that to go
That's
off and get the
big deal.
That's
what a lot of people
deal.
Have told me, too. Yeah.
Or if there's anybody from Tashin listening to the show, please feel free to hit up Kylie Ireland on Twitter.
Seriously, people have told me, they're like, do the self-published thing. You're not going to make any money if you go to Tashin or whatever. I'm like, I don't care. I just would, if Tashin wanted to take me, I'm going to say yeah, because they're fucking Tashin.
Right.
You know, they're going to make me a big, beautiful, glossy book, which is what I want.
Right.
I don't know if I've, you know, if I'm going to do the self-published thing, it's going to be a process. And, you know, I'm a little afraid of that, but it's worth it. And it's time to do it because I have all these amazing, I have thousands and thousands of these signs. And I want to share them now. I'm to the point where I actually want to share them. And, you know, the rest of the people who, you know, the naysayers and the haters can fuck off.
Doesn't matter.
Where can the fine people at Tashin or any of your fans find you at then? On the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
You can find
which
me.
Which is on the internet.
On the interweb.
Yeah.
It's a series of tubes.
Yeah, exactly.
Twitter.com/KylieIreland K-Y-L-I-E, Ireland, like the country. That's it. I have no other contacts that I can give out that aren't porn related. Isn't that sad? I would also, I don't know if this is good or bad, because I know a lot of people have said you should definitely.
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Use your real name. I want to use my real name. I don't want to use Kylie Ireland, because to me, Kylie Ireland is not the person who took those pictures.
I have
the feeling that I'm going to have to put Kylie Ireland on this damn book, and it's going to fucking kill me.
You don't have to. You don't have to. Trust me.
Do you think people are going to find it more interesting that a porn star did this? God, I hope not. I hope that's not what they would judge it.
I don't think so.
I would hope they'd look at the pictures and judge it by that.
I think that's what you got to do. You got to stick with that. You got to stick with that. You got to be yourself, and you got to be, this is, like you said, this is you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Kylie Ireland.
No, it's such a different person that took these pictures.
So it's just like, my work is not me.
Yeah. No, I get it. We all have our superhero persona, you know? So,
I got multiple personalities, but since I have about five of them.
The medication helps with that.
Exactly.
You can follow me on Instagram as well. And you can see, I do post a lot of my signs there. Because now I've learned with Instagram, I'll take photos with the actual camera, which I have a Nikon D90. It's a little old, I know, but I love it. But I'll also take them with my phone so that I can Instagram them. And so
your phone's bigger resolution than
I know. It's true. Yeah. But you know, at least you know on there, I've made my Instagram mostly about my photography. I rarely do self pics, and I get so much grief from the fans about it. But I'm like, this is Instagram. I'm not going to take pictures of myself just to please you guys.
Yeah, no, I can't.
If you're interested in another part
of
me,
it's like what we do. I get complaints. I get the emails from the fans who don't like what I do with Audrey or Ash, and or Bob even, like,
they think they can do better.
My answer to them all is like, excuse me, but we're doing the site and the work, and everything that we do is for us and not you. You either like it and join and look at it, mm-hmm. or you don't. We're not forcing you to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they complain about the dumbest things that I've got, like, and my usual response when I get really angry is like, what the fuck have you done? What have you done? What have you created? Show me your shit. And until you can come close to what I've done, shut up. And my mom always said, if you have nothing nice to say, shut the fuck up.
I like your mom.
Yeah.
My mom never said that.
Yeah, that was after she...
Not in those words.
That was after she was beating the shit out of me.
Oh, my God.
That's another show!
On that note, we have daddy issues and mommy issues. I truly, truly look forward to, and I will buy a copy of a photo book in the future that is going to be published by Tashin.
I photographs love your positivity.
Photographs by Kylie Ireland, or insert real name here. Kylie, I truly, truly appreciate you coming down and talking about now a multitude. There we go, the big words, college words, multitude of topics.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
No, not a problem. This has been More with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. You can find me on the interwebs as well, on Twitter, at MoXXX, or Mox, as some people call me. And you can also check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where I post all sorts of fun pictures from the sets that I work on. Have a great day.